Avoid them like a mutie with a plague. Report finding a blue, and you get a reward. Understand?
Sure. A blue shirt?
That's what I said.
The soldier waved the van onward.
Welcome to Front Royal.
Starting the engine, Stephen touched two fingers to his forehead, and the sergeant actually snapped a formal salute in return. Once the road took the blockhouse out of sight, Stephen braked to a halt and climbed from the van. As he stiffly walked over to the first truck, the driver stuck his head out the window. The glass was long gone, replaced by a sheet of tar paper to help cut the wind.
What now, fatty?
Dressed in badly cured animal skins, he reeked of rotting flesh, enough to mask the sour stink of his unwashed body. In the front seat alongside him was a skinny woman snoring loudly, a chicken bone from dinner sticking out of her slack mouth.
Taking a leak. Be right back.
Stephen strolled into the forest. The moment he was hidden by the bushes, Stephen bent over and violently retched, the shine burning much worse coming out than it had going in. When he was finished, Stephen wiped off his mouth with some leaves and weakly stumbled to the van. Starting the engine with fumbling hands, he continued driving toward the ville. Okay, Overton was dead. Now he would work for Nathan Carter. Fine. Barons were all the same, murdering coldhearts who lived on blood, only their names changed. And if Nathan was a good man, well then he could always travel north to Bull Runville and work for the mad bitch in charge up there. She kept a muty assassin to chill her enemies. That was more reasonable. But either way, he would stay in business, finding things for the monsters who ruled the world. Life would go on without interruption. Stephen was a survivor. The sound of hammering filled the streets and houses of Front Royal, along with the steady sawing of wood. Watching the work across the ville, Baron Nathan Cotter stood on the third floor of the destroyed keep, the shattered brick walls rising only to his knees. At the base of the keep, workers picked through the rubble, salvaging individual bricks and cleaning them off to add to the growing pile. A few blocks away, scaffolding rose around the ville castle like loving hands, holding the weakened walls in place until the sloping supports could be trusted to hold the awesome weight of the new granite blocks. Day and night the construction continued, repairing the tremendous damage done by the invaders. The bodies were gone from the streets, the damaged cobblestones in the main courtyard replaced with fresh ones. The new horse stable was only a wooden skeleton, the horses temporarily housed in the great hall of Castle Cotter. Nathan shivered slightly from a cold wind. His clothes were patched but spotlessly clean, the boots shiny with polish. Oiled blasters rode at each hip, and a monstrously huge .44 caliber Desert Eagle pistol rested in a position of honor in a shoulder holster. The weapon had been pried from the cold gray hand of Overton as he lay sprawled in the mud.
Afternoon, my husband.
A lovely woman advanced with a cape folded over an arm. Her long hair was tied back off her plain face, and a knit scarf was wound about her throat, accenting her pale skin. She wore a long coat over a loose gown of royal brown, and heavy pants peeked out from below the pleated skirt. An Ingram M10 submachine gun had been slung over her shoulder for easy access. Lady Tabitha Carter walked toward her husband and offered him the garment.
It's too cold for you to be standing here without a coat.
Do our sick men have coats?
Nathan watched the armed guards walk the palisades of the walled ville. Many had tied blankets around their bodies with lengths of rope as protection from the wind. Others wore less and shivered.
Do the workers below? To the old?
Gently, Tabitha brushed a hand against the Baron's scarred cheek. Her fingernails were stubby and cracked, her hand covered with scabs, the wounds still healing from her many days of torture.
No, my love, they do not.
Then while I stay here in public sight, neither do I. If I can't make them warm, I can at least share the weather and make them feel less miserable.
She glanced at the sky and drew her coat close tighter.
Any sign of snow?
Thankfully, no. Every day gets us closer to repairing the wall and drawbridge. Once we're behind stone again, I can turn our attention to fixing the homes and other buildings. How's the laundry coming?
Tabitha almost smiled. Laundry, such a nice way of referring to stripping the dead of their torn clothing.
The sewing is nearly done on the shirts. Next, we dye the blue cloth brown, or rather purple, as quickly as we can. In a few days, everybody will have an extra shirt to wear. Then we start on the boots and pants. Come the full moon, even the old will be warm.
Good. And the food supply?
Adequate. With the hunters bringing in more meat daily, we should survive until spring.
She offered the coat again.
Please?
I can't.
Yet I can?
You just gave birth. They understand.
Pushing a wheelbarrow full of bricks, a man wearing rags for boots paused to catch his breath in the street below and waved at the couple standing high above the ville. Nathan stood taller and nodded in reply. Flexing his hands to restore circulation, the worker returned to his task and pushed the bricks toward the construction crew at the barbican of the front gate. Nathan took his wife by the arm.
Is the baby healthy? Is that why you're really here?
Alexander is fine. Sleeping with his wet nurse and a dozen sick men.
Tabitha patted his cold hand. She was too thin and sickly to breastfeed the infant. However, many women in the ville had lost newborns in the terrible war, and it had been no problem to find one willing to suckle the next baron.
The guards are necessary. Overton tried using you to seize the ville. Our son would make an even better key.
Your uncle's bastard son is dead.
Besides, I'm here now.
The Cotters turned at the pronouncement and watched as Clement Brigitine Turpin stepped into view from the exposed stone stairwell. The grizzled soldier was dressed in heavy leather clothing, with an Enfield long blaster slung across his wide back. Two bandoliers of ammo crisscrossed his chest, the handle of a knife jutted from his boot, and a hatchet was slung at his side where a hand blaster should have been. Tabitha smiled.
My dear Lieutenant Turpin!
His broad features dusky with a growing beard, the big man scowled.
Clem. Just Clem, my lady. I ain't no royalty. Just a grunt.
Chief of my sec men.
Few things bothered Clem, and most of those got aced immediately. The big backwoodsman wasn't a believer in either forgiveness or patience. Just then, a squad of sec men climbed out of the hole in the floor where the stairs ended and moved quickly across the bare expanse of concrete. Long blasters at the ready, the guards circled the Cotters, keeping close together. Every man carried an AK-47 salvaged from the war, a bulging pouch of precious ammo clips slung over his side.
What's the matter? Have more blues been found in the woods?
Hell no. Patrol finds them, they chill them. Don't need to bring that detail to you. But there's a new problem, yeah. Our spy from Bull Runville says their baron believes you plan on invading them with the new troops that arrived last month.
Softly, the mountain wind ruffled their clothing, finding bare skin through every tiny lace hole and opening.
But Overton's troops are dead.
She don't know that.
And she wouldn't believe us if we told her.
Nathan glanced at the handful of people working on the front gate.
We will have to move fast if they're planning on attacking first. The ville can't withstand a charge by blind rabbits at the moment. Not until that damned drawbridge is repaired.
We can stop them.
Nathan frowned.
Unless she's not sending her army, but just one man. One thing, actually.
Clem furrowed his brow.
Y'all mean an assassin?
A muti by the name of Sullivan.
Nathan drew the Desert Eagle and dropped the clip to examine the load.
Shitfire. I'd heard the thing was dead years ago. I once saw him rip the throat out of a grizz bear on a bet. Didn't even work up a sweat.
Are you serious?
Totally. He's a monster, and damn hard to kill. Many have tried and failed. Sullivan drank their blood and mutilated the corpses for laughs.
Without speaking, Tabitha tucked her hands up the sleeves of her coat, and they heard the soft metallic clack of a blaster's hammer being cocked.
I'll be in the nursery until further notice.
Tabitha strode toward the stairs.
Stay with her.
Clem pointed, and half of the attending sec men started after the woman. The rest clustered tighter around the baron.
Sullivan.
Nathan checked the ammo in his snub-nosed .38 revolver.
This could be worse than Overton.
Clem slid the Enfield off his shoulder and worked the bolt.
Maybe you should stay out of sight till I find this asswipe. Direct the rebuilding from inside the castle, or maybe the barracks?